Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4, and we read a passage that's we've read many times, and folks have preached hundreds of messages on this particular passage and the details that are given to us concerning Jesus stilling the storm. A storm arose and they come to the Lord, and so we will read this. Verse 35 will begin, and I'll probably read into chapter 5 just two or three verses here to bring it together. Verse 35, Mark chapter 4 says, "And the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them," that's speaking of his disciples, "let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when they were come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." And it goes on to tell the condition of this man in that place of the Gadarenes. Now, this particular passage gives us, first of all, the will of God for these ships. If we would read verse number 35 and skip all of those verses and then read verse number 1 of chapter 5, you'd find that it happened just like the Lord desired for it to. He said, "The same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes." And so when you skip those verses in there, it seems as though that everything worked just like it was supposed to, and everything, they landed up exactly where the Lord had planned for them to be. But in between those verses, there's an incident that takes place with his disciples and those on the ships that were there crossing over. And by the way, when the Lord has a perfect will for whether it be a church or whether it be an individual or a family, whoever it might be, when the Lord has a plan for your life, you can rest assured that the devil, he's going to do everything he can to stop that progress. And so the devil tried his best to stop the progression of these ships and sent a storm, and the Lord calmed that storm, because the devil knew on the other side there was a man that had a great need. And that need was this man that was demonic. He was controlled by the demons, and no man could tame him. No man could control him. They would bind him with chains and fetters. And with that abnormal strength that came from the demons in his body, he was able to break those chains and fetters asunder, and he was untamable. He was a wild man. But the devil also knows that when the Lord comes in contact with something like that, he can tame the wildness. Not only can he tame the sea that is disruptive, not only can he speak and it becomes still, the Lord can calm the troubled hearts and can calm the needs that different ones have for different reasons. And this man had the demonic spirits in him, and so the Lord was able to take care of that, and that was the will of God. But to get there, they had to go across the sea. And to get in the sea, they had had a problem, and they had the storm that came up. The Lord has just spoken to them. If we was to take time, We could go back in chapter 4 and we'll find that there are many parables given unto those disciples, teaching them and showing them different aspects of the ministry and the work of the Lord. And at the end of that day, they are ready to go over. And the Bible says when evening was come, the Lord told them to get in there to go and to pass over to the other side of the sea. And so we read this, we find that the storm arises and they are very fearful. The Bible says in verse 7, there's a great storm. The waves beat and it was overflowing the sides of the ship. And they find the Lord and he's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And that's where usually the captain would stay. And I'm glad tonight the Lord, he knows where the captain stays because he is the captain. He's the captain of our ship. He's the captain of our life. And they find him asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they ask one of the many foolish questions that so many times they did ask the Lord. They said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They did not even have enough spiritual understanding to realize as long as the Lord was in the ship, they wasn't going to perish. As long as the Lord was where he was, they were safe and they were secure. Sometimes we feel like we may are going to perish. Sometimes we feel like the struggles come and bombard us continually from every direction and on every hand. And sometimes we feel like maybe saying the same things that these disciples said, "Lord, do you not care? Lord, are you here? Do you know my condition? Do you know where I am? Do you understand that?" And of course we know that he does care. We know that he does know and he has compassion upon us. And and we get in the same shape as these disciples and we ask sometimes some foolish questions. And so the Lord rises from his rest and he calms the troubled sea. I don't know that I've ever mentioned, or I know I've never given a message on this, and it's more of a topical message than anything else, but we'll use the topic, but yet we'll still look at these verses tonight and how it applies and have some exposition there in these verses. But the Bible tells us, and the Scripture does not give us things just to be filling up space. The Bible says here that he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. Now, we all know what a pillow is. We probably, if you're like me, you have that special pillow that you have, and you must have it. If I travel, if I go overnight somewhere, my pillow goes with me. And that may be like Linus and his blanket, but my pillow goes so I can sleep. And when I was having so much neck problem, Miss Jane gave me a special pillow that was supposed to help, and I'm thankful she did that because I have fallen in love with that pillow. And it does help, and it has helped. And so I take it with me. And the Lord, the Bible says he was asleep, and he was on a pillow. He was on that which made him comfortable or gave him ability to rest. Part of this passage here tonight just shows to us that he was human just like you and I. He had to have his physical rest just like we have to have our physical rest. And so that night as they were crossing on to the other side of the sea and as they were going across, the storm comes. But he's resting in the back part of the ship, and he's laying on a pillow and resting because of the needs of his body. And so this place where the captain stays is where our captain was. And, you know, our captain, he can rest even though he knows the storm's coming. This storm didn't take him by shock, didn't take him by surprise, didn't surprise him. He knew what was around the corner just ahead of them. And the Sea of Galilee is noted for storms coming up just immediately, having no warning of that. And this may have been one of those storms that just came up, and immediately they was in the midst of a raging sea, and the water was coming over the sides of the ship, and they are fearful, and they go wake the Lord up, and they find him laying on a pillow. And these truths that we look in these verses, we find that these disciples were involved in the work of God. They were doing what the Lord had told them to do, but yet a storm came. And sometimes we are doing what the Lord tells us to do, and a storm will show up. A problem will arise, and a difficulty will come to us. And these disciples, they were involved in the work of God. They were busy for the Lord, and still the storm came. And they not only that, but they observed the power of God. They observed the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that they did this, and we know that they passed over, and they observed all this that took place and landed safely on the other side just simply because of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, these people were in the perfect will of God. You know, sometimes we feel like that when problems arise and storms come to our personal life or to our homes or to our churches, and anything we're associated with, sometimes we maybe get to thinking, maybe I'm not doing everything I need to do. Maybe the Lord's trying to show me something. Maybe the Lord's trying to direct me a different way. But these disciples, they were in the perfect will of God, and yet the storm came. And you and I tonight, we can be in the perfect will of God, and we can know we're doing to the best of our ability what the Lord wants us to do, and still a storm will arise, and problems will raise their head, and we just must wake up the Lord. We must just get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we're in that same place as these disciples, in the perfect will of God, and yet the storm will come into our lives. Now these men, they came into this storm unexpectedly. There wasn't any forecast of it as they traveled across the sea. Unexpectedly there on the Sea of Galilee, the storm arose very quickly, and they were in the midst of it, and they were in peril. I think the Scripture gives us here a little bit of detail. There arose a great storm. It wasn't just a small storm. It was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So they're in full motion and going forward under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the storm hits. The problem comes. And so they go find the Lord. He is asleep there in the hull of the ship, in the hinder side of it, the back side of it. And they wake him up, and they say, "Master, do you not care? Are you not concerned about our welfare?" But they found out very soon and very quickly that even though he was asleep, he was able to calm their fears. Even though he was on a pillow, he was able to take care of the storm, and he was able to take care of their fear and their storm in their life and take care of the ship. And so tonight I want us to look at some pillows that we can depend upon because the Lord is in our ship, because there's some things that he can do for us and can give to us his blessings, and we can get through the storm. Number one, we can understand and we can rest even in the midst of the storm, because we can follow the presence of God. We can know he is there. I'm glad tonight I know the Lord is everywhere we are, everywhere we go. But there's a special thing of knowing that when I'm in trouble, that when I'm being attacked, and when difficulty comes, I can be assured that the Lord's there. His presence is there. Verse number 35, it says, "When evening came, he said unto them, Let us pass over." Now, he didn't tell them to go and he'd follow. He said, "Let us pass over." You and I tonight, we need to understand that we're in this together with the Lord. He has not left us unattended. He's not left us friendless. He's not left us to where we have to take care of things ourselves. He told these disciples and these others is in those little ships with him. He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." Thank God he was going with them. He was with them, and so therefore his presence was there with them. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter number 33, and verse number 14, the Lord says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said to them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And so the Lord told Moses, he said, my presence is with you. The New Testament tells us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. His presence is always there. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Thank God, what a comfort it is to know that the Lord is with us. What a comfort it is to know that when the waves beat against the ship and the problems come, whether it be a physical storm, a spiritual storm, whether it be a financial storm, whatever kind of storm that comes our way, aren't you glad that the Lord is in the ship with us? Aren't you glad that He is there? It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God." There's the promise of the Lord. He is our God. He is our deliverer. He said, "I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Praise the Lord tonight. The Lord gives us a promise that His presence goes ever with us. Everywhere we are, everywhere we go, everything that takes place to us, He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." For the child of God, the presence of God is always, and it always spells victory. It spells freedom for us. The three Hebrew men, when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they were free from their self-dependence, and they depended upon the Lord. And when they looked down, they said, "We thought we threw three there," and all of a sudden they see four. And that fourth one was in the image of the Son of God. And you know why? Because it was the Son of God. The Lord is with us, and I would say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'd say they's in a storm. I'd say they's in a problem. I'd say these disciples here, they were in a storm, literally in fear of losing their own life, but yet the presence of God was there with them. Let us go to the other side. Number two, you can rest on the pillow that God gives us because of His promise. In the same verse, they're going to the other side. Already dealt with that just a little bit when we read those verses, verse number 35 and skip down to verse number 1. When the Lord said, "We're going," guess what? They went. You and I tonight, the Lord has given us promise after promise that one day He will deliver us on the other side of this world, and He'll deliver us in glory, untouched, unharmed by the wicked one. Why? Because He is not only His presence with us, but thank God we have His promises. "I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee." There's not one promise that anyone can show where God has ever failed. When the Lord said He would do something, He did that. Now, sometimes He didn't do it the way those that were involved thought He might, but He still provided. He still gave those promises, and they were able to take care of the needs that were there. "Let us pass to the other side." And they did that because they rested upon the promise, the pillar of the promise of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 18 and verse number 19. "By two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie." God cannot lie. If He says He's going to be with us, He's with us. If He says, "Well, I'll deliver you safely on the other side," we're going to go safely to the other side. When He told the children of Israel they would end up in the promised land, they ended up in the promised land. It took them longer than they thought it would take because of their unbelief, but God still was true to His promise, and they ended up crossing over Jordan into the promised land. Two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul. The anchor to our soul tonight is the promise of God that He will deliver. That anchor of the soul, it goes on to say that it is sure and steadfast, and and which entereth into it within the veil. And so tonight we have the presence of the Lord, and we have the promises of God that make us able to endure so many difficulties that come our way. Things that we would never think about. Things that we would never plan on. Sometimes the storm comes. Megan, you didn't plan on that storm of a car wreck that would injure you. Others have had difficulties that have come to our lives. We don't plan on those things, but I'm so glad tonight I can depend upon the promise of God that He's with me, that He's there and He's capable and He's very able to take care of whatever comes my way. He tells us here that the Bible says here they go to the, that they're commanded to pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. These disciples were not the only one in the storm. There's others. And even though we don't take consolation in someone else having problems, but it's good to know I'm not the only one having a problem. It's good to know that I'm not the only one suffering. I'm not the only one having a problem in my life. And so we can depend upon the other people of God around us, knowing that they're there to help us and that they can and will give to us the things that are needed in our life. Sometimes we get tunnel vision. We don't see anybody but us. Just us. But there's a whole world out there of believers tonight. Many of them are suffering. And I'm glad we can be an encouragement to each other that the Lord will help us, that the Lord can direct our paths. We should realize that we are important to God. And we're not the only ones important. Everyone that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called the people of God. I'm glad I can depend upon folks that love God. I'm glad I can pick up my phone if need be and say, I have a prayer request. I have a need. There's people that call our church different times, different things, and they say, we have a request we'd like for y'all to pray about this particular thing. And we may not even know the folks, but they're part of that little ship out there in the midst of the storm, that the Lord's with them just like He's with us, and we can bear one another's burdens just like the Scripture tells us. And so these pillows that we have help us to get through the difficult days. We can rest our head upon the pillow of the prayers unto God. Hear these disciples, when the wind arose, that great storm came, they, in their unpredictable way, they really were praying unto the Lord. And they say, Master, in their voice, they were crying out for help. In their message, they were crying out that they not perish. I'm glad tonight that I can depend upon the prayers unto God, that He does hear us, that He does take care. The storms of life do not hinder the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may detour us, and it may slow us down. And sometimes the storms will stop us, and we just can't go any farther. But I'm glad I can fall on my face to the God of heaven, and He knows my need. And He can push forward, and He can help in every need of life. Prayer is our direct communication line to the Lord. This book is His direct communication line to us. I've never heard the voice of the Lord. I've never heard Him speak audibly like is given to us in the Old Testament. But I have more right here that I hear Him speak than I can handle. I have more here than I can take care of. And that's His direct line to me. But I can go to Him, and He invites me to come to the very presence of God and come to the throne of the Lord and to besiege that that throne for the needs that we have. He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him. All of our care can be placed upon Him. If He can handle all of my sins, He can handle all of my cares. If He can handle all the needs of our life spiritually in our sin life, He can take care of my cares as a saint of God. And so Peter says, casting all of our cares upon Him. And he doesn't stop there. That verse goes on and says, for He careth for you. The reason we can cast our cares on Him is because He wants us to, He desires us to, and He cares about us. The Lord cared about these disciples. They go to Him, verse 37, verse number 38, and they say, Lord, we've got to have help. The waves are coming over the ship, and we're full of water, and we're going to go down, and we're going to be destroyed. That didn't bother the Lord any. He didn't wonder what He was going to do. He didn't talk to them. He just got up and calmed the storm. Isn't it great when the Lord can just calm the storm? Peace can come to our heart. Our heart, our minds can be settled and satisfied in the good things of the Lord because we can cast those things upon Him. The Bible tells us in Psalm number 27, verse 13, the psalmist says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. David said, I would have fainted if it wasn't for the goodness of God. How many times in our personal life would we have thrown in the towel and said, I can't do it except for the goodness of our God? Praise the Lord tonight. He loves us and He cares. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We don't have to wait over there for God to bless us. Thank God He can bless us here in the land of the living. He goes on and says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, for and He shall strengthen thee, shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's the hardest thing that God has for us to do. Just wait. It'll be okay. Just hold on. Just don't get ahead of me. Everything's going to work out. And that is the answer to the prayers unto the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also on Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Trusting the Lord. Trusting and waiting. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 56, verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. All the times when fear comes to my life, the psalmist here says, David says, I'm going to trust in God. In God will I praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's casting all of our cares upon the Lord. That's an Old Testament passage, really doing what the New Testament tells us to do. He says, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in God. When I'm fearful, I'm going to trust Him. Not only am I going to trust Him, but I'm going to praise His word. I'm going to praise Him, for in Him have my trust. And he says, I'm not going to worry what flesh shall do. And that flesh there could be our flesh, or it could be somebody else, what they do to us. And David says, I'm not going to be fearful of what flesh can do unto me. And David had a lot of problems in his life. But he said, I'm not going to fear those things because I'm trusting in the Lord. That's a pretty good pillar to rest upon, the prayers of God and God's people. The prayers that we can call upon Him and know that He will help us. Philippians chapter 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for those things. And I'm not a very good one to be talking about that because I become very anxious at times. I become very nervous about things, and I want certain things to take place and certain things to happen. But Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And may God help us tonight to do that. There is a song that has been penned, and it's just simply entitled, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, He does. Praise the Lord. One of the verses goes, Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. And the chorus says, oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. What a wonderful pillar to rest upon and to have comfort in our life to know that He cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed? Sure He does. Oh yes, He cares. That's a great resting point for God's people, for us to know that we're not just saved and left here alone, but God cares for us. We understand care. We understand compassion. Our families, we care for our children. We care for our parents. We care for our close relationship. Well, the Lord is much closer than all of those, and yes, He does care. When I falter, when I fail, He cares. When the heart is pained, He cares. The song goes on and says, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When our hearts are broken for loss of loved ones, does Jesus care? Sure He does. Lord, carest thou not? Yes, He does care. Don't you know the ship is going to sink? Don't you understand that we're going to go down? Do you not care that we perish? And the Lord just got up and took care. And then He rebuked them and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, what a rebuke. You've been with me all these days and these few years and months, and you're asking me if I care. I'm on my way to Calvary, and you're asking me, do I not care? How is it that you are so fearful? Well, sometimes the Lord has to ask us that, don't He? He asks us the same question. How come you're fearing? I'm going to take care of it. How come you don't have any faith? The faith of the grain of a mustard seed. That was the last illustration parable that the Lord gave to them before they got into the ship to go to the other side. Just have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? If I was to hold it up here tonight, you couldn't see it, because my finger would wrap around it and I would barely feel it. Mustard seed, very small. And the Lord said, if you just have the faith no larger than that. And so He's taught them that lesson. He gives them that parable. And then He has to rebuke them and say, you have no faith. You don't even have mustard grain faith. You don't even have the smallest of the seed of faith. I know one time I gave a message. Some of you probably remember it. I had a jar up here. I had a few mustard seed in it. I'd count. And it's hard to count them things. I'd count them that afternoon, put them in a jar, enough that you could see them. I forget now how many there was, but there was hundreds, and I just barely filled the bottom of the jar. And the Lord said, just one mustard seed. How is it that you're fearful? How is it that you have no faith when I've just told you the faith grain of a mustard seed? So He rebukes them, but in His rebuke He loves them and delivers them from their storm. We can take rest upon His power. Verse 39, He arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. That's pretty good power. And they are amazed. They look and they say, how is it that even the winds and the sea obey Him? How is it that He can command the sea to be still? When we were about to drown, we were about to die, and all of a sudden, the Sea of Galilee is like a mirror. It's glass. It's smooth. That's the power of God. And I thank the Lord tonight, He has the same power. He has the same power in my storm. He has the same power in your storm as He did in theirs. Peace, be still. And brother, when God says peace, you know what it is? Peace. Peace comes to us and to our heart. What a pillow to rest upon. What was the purpose of it? To get to the other side. To know that the Lord would deliver just as He said. We're on a journey tonight, and we're traveling from earth to glory. And there is no way, if we are a believer, there's no way that He's not going to deliver us on the other side. Now, there may be a lot of pitfalls. There may be a lot of storms, but He can still the storm, and He can deliver us over on this other side. These disciples, when we see what takes place, we get a little glimpse into their heart. And it's the same problem with our heart. It's that heart of unbelief. We find that we need to learn to be more dependent upon Him, because He's going to deliver us. That is His will. God has a purpose, and that purpose will be fulfilled in the life of His children. And to do that, and to have that take place in our life, we will fall in love with Him more immensely every day as we serve Him. They feared exceedingly, the Scripture says. They were afraid. And they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the seas obey Him?" The sea obeyed Him because it was His purpose and His will. We're going to the other side. You and I tonight, guess what? We're going to the other side. And He has the power. He has everything needed in His possession to take care of us. And we can rest assured on that pillow that He will fulfill His purpose. And then the last thing that we can look upon and have great joy in, and the pillow to rest our head upon and our life upon, is that to understand and to know that the trials and the discouragements that come now, they're just for a season. They're just for a period of time. Those disciples one moment were fearful and afraid that they were going to die. Then they were fearful of what He had said. But all of a sudden, they come to the understanding, they come to the realization, the storm's over. We're going to the other side. And when they got there, they found out the real purpose of why they had to go to the other side. Just as Jesus said to His disciples earlier in John chapter 4, He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." He knew there was a woman there that needed to hear the gospel. And He had to go there. And the Lord knew that on the other side He would land upon the country of the Gadarenes. And He knew that there was a man there that had been bound by fetters and chains for years and years and was totally out of control. And Jesus said, "We're going to the other side to take care of that problem." So the disciples go through a storm, and now they're out of it. Just a period of time, it's over. And they go to a place where this man, I'd say he had a very huge storm in his life. He was uncontrollable. He was demon-possessed. He had no control over himself. He couldn't live with his family. He couldn't stay where he normally stayed or would have stayed. He didn't have ability to do that because he's a wild man. I believe he's in a storm. You know what the Lord did to his storm? He took care of it just like He did the disciples. And He'll take care of my storm and your storm in our life because He has that power. And we need to understand, not going to be this way forever. I know you've heard the phrase, "This too shall pass." Some people try to convince you that's in the Scripture. It's not there. It's pretty good philosophy, but it's not Bible. "This too shall pass." My mother, I argued with her, I don't know, time and time again. She said, "I know it's in the Bible. I've read it." I said, "Well, you got a different version than I've got." I do not. And Mama's pretty spunky on some things. She said, "But that's in the Bible." I say, "Yeah, okay, well, when you find it to me, you read it to me, and I'll preach a sermon on it the next Sunday. This too shall pass." But you know, the philosophy of that saying is true. It's not going to last forever. The storm that we're in, the storm that we're either in or going into or coming out, it's not going to last forever. You know, the only storm that's going to last forever is a storm when people die without God, without hope, and go to hell. That storm will never, never end. Thank God my storm is in Him. And He handled my sin-sick life. He handled the storm of sin in me. And He did that for you. And He's going to deliver us to the other side one day. But those folks that have never believed or accepted, they're in a storm now. and they'll be in a storm throughout all eternity. That's why it's so very important that we tell people He cares. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He'll handle your problem. And so if we know somebody that's lost, and we all do, we ought to really pray, God, help him to rest upon some things in the Word of God, to believe you that that storm on in their life right now, that it can cease when they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to make a real matter of prayer. I don't know what the Lord will do. I have no idea, but I know we can pray for Dr. Hagg's father. Very cordial. I mean, I've talked to him a lot, and he's just a lost man, needs God. You know, most lost people don't want to hear about it, and they shut their ears to it, and they reject it. But every once in a while, God can get a hold of their attention by bringing a real storm into their life. He's in a storm right now. I'll tell you, I didn't think he'd make it through Friday night. We stayed a long time because I just didn't think he was going to make it. The doctors didn't. They told him, don't leave because we don't think he's going to make it. This morning, just a few hours after, here we are, a little over 24 hours after, 48 hours now. He's off most of the respirator, and a lot of the medication they's giving him to keep his heart rate and his blood pressure, all those things have been removed. He does become alert. And so just pray that the God of heaven would give mercy and grace one more time, that we be faithful and tell him Jesus saves. May God help him to believe. So let's stand together tonight and